Hear the word of the Lord. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people will go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard you complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know that what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" And our second scripture comes from the book of John. John 6, 24 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. "So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them, 'Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.' So they said to him, 'What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it was written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Wondrous and gracious Lord, we come and we have heard your word. We come and we ask that your supper today would sustain us and give us life for the days ahead. We ask, Lord, that your word would guide us and lead us, and yes, even transform us to be the people you know and call us to be. In your wondrous and amazing name, we pray. Amen. After he fed 5,000 people, after he had gone on the water and just walked across, not paddleboarded, but walked across, Jesus went and took a day off. Well, We all know he didn't. But you would think he would get a day off. Jesus attempts to withdraw, to take a moment back and just be. He seeks to care for himself. But the crowd seems to follow him. The crowd goes over the waters which he just walked on to find him. Now they're a bit confused. You see, they saw the disciples depart in the boat, but they didn't see Jesus get in the boat. And so when they looked around, they thought they'd see Jesus, you know, sitting back up on the mountain. But instead, what they have is Jesus on the other side. And so they start to ask him that question. And if you think there isn't a pointedness to this question, you aren't paying attention. Because when he fed 5,000 people enough from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they were ready to make him a king. Imagine what this crowd, what this ready to anoint him as king crowd would do if they found out that he just walked across the water. So they get there and they ask Jesus, "How'd you get here, Jesus?" Now, if he was the coach of Ohio State, he would tell a lie here and perhaps say something. Or if he was a politician, he might, you know, avoid telling the truth, as only they do. The fact is, Jesus isn't going to answer. Because he knows what the answer is going to do. The answer is as problematic as not answering. If he says, "Well, you know, guys, I just put 1 foot in front of the other and just walked across the water," this crowd that he had to step back from after he fed them, after they just got a meal, they were ready to anoint him as king. What would they do if they found out he walked on the water? I don't know what it is after making somebody a king, but I think they would try and do it. This is that crowd. This is the crowd that was ready after a full belly to do that. So Jesus doesn't answer. Instead, he asks them the question, "Why are you asking me this? Why are you following me? Is it because I filled your stomachs?" Now, again, it's a question that they probably don't want to answer as much as he doesn't want to answer the other question. Are they going to be honest? "Well, Jesus, you know, we were not really impressed by the sight to the blind thing. We weren't really, you know, on board then, but that bread was better than Dicing's. It was better than a bagel from Sunrise Bagel. We ate our fill, we were full, and now we're ready to follow you." They're following him for full bellies. Jesus has a problem with this. He has a problem with their motivation. Because their focus, as often the people of Israel's focus has become, is down here. On the here, on the now, on the next meal, on the next step down the road. And Jesus' focus is on bringing them to here. On bringing them to so much more. And like he does, Jesus brings the conversation to the true point. He points out to them that the bread which they have eaten will only feed them for so long, and then they'll be looking for the next meal. Bread, after all, only lasts for so long. And I realize that's a fairly basic statement to make, that bread only fills you for so long. And after all, eating is a cycle. You eat, you go do things, eventually you get hungry, and you eat again. And then you keep on the cycle. Always you are eating to sustain your life. If you don't eat, you will eventually die. If you don't drink water, you will eventually die. It is a cycle of being sustained. You must continually do this in order to live. The core of why we eat and why we drink is sustenance, so that we can continue on. It's incontrovertible, it's unarguable. At some point, if you stop eating, you will not live. At some point, a little sooner than if you gave up food, you will die from lack of water. Even if you're fasting, there comes a point where you must break your fast if you are to live. Even if you're on a diet, at some point while you're dieting, you have to eat. You have to eat a certain amount of calories, etc., so that you can continue to be alive. But Jesus' focus, as I said before, is not on just staying alive in the cycle of living here. His focus is on the life and on God's kingdom. He's got a tiered, multi-tiered view of the world that always points, not just working towards the next meal or the next sitting down gathering. Jesus is always working and pointing to his Father's kingdom. And so instead of taking a few fish from the water and turning it into a seafood buffet for the people who want another sign from him of who he is, instead of saying, all right, last time it was 5 loaves of bread, we'll try 4 loaves of bread and I'll feed you all. Instead of doing that and continuing to feed that sustenance cycle, he points to a truly sustainable cycle. The sustainable cycle of life eternal with his Father. Think about this. Everything we buy that is food has a born on date, Best Buy date, a shelf life. Even if it's in a can, even if now it's a Twinkie. We used to have the joke when I was a kid that, you know, nuclear war would happen and it'd be a few people, a few roaches, and a whole lot of Twinkies. And then we'd go have a bunch of Twinkies. The fact is, everything has a shelf life. When my grandmother moved into an assisted living, we went through her house and we went through the pantry. And like any good Dutch lady, she had a full wall of cans. Some we donated. But some, after checking the date, well, we had a moment of amazement that they hadn't exploded, but we threw away. Because they weren't good anymore. Food goes bad. Food eventually needs to be pulled from the shelves. And I ask you, if food is past its date, are you going to eat it? I mean, if you've got something in the fridge and you're going through the fridge and you pull it out and you look at it and you're not one sure what it is, you do the proverbial, you know, and you put it in the trash. If it's your good Tupperware, there's a good chance you might be throwing out your Tupperware. The fact is, food goes bad. It has a shelf life. But Jesus' focus is not on food that can actually go bad. His focus, his point is that there is a food that does sustain, that doesn't ever go bad. He points out to them that they're going to continually seek to be fed. They're going to continually, over and over again, look to be fed until they find something that truly, truly can sustain them. Even if food is amazing and it tastes wonderful, it will not sustain you forever. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, physically, you have to keep on sustaining yourself with food. But then you look for that which will continually and always sustain you. Jesus puts forward imperishable food without an expiration date, the bread of life, himself. Now we're getting a little ahead there. The fact is, the Israelites, the people listening to Jesus, are a people who want signs. They want to know. They want to tangibly see. After all, if Jesus had just turned the loaves into bread, they would have said, oh, that's a great miracle. Wonderful. But if he had given it to them to eat, wow, that's something different. They want something, they want a sign. You know, they talk about Moses and manna in the desert, the quail in the desert. That was something they could grab onto with the quail, literally. They want something to grasp, to hold onto, to see with their eyes. They don't want Jesus just talking. And so they ask him for a sign. Now, if we learn anything about Jesus, it's that he doesn't usually play ball when people demand. So instead of signs, he goes back and corrects their teachings. He goes back and corrects their thought because they are attributing the manna, not from God, not from God sustaining the people in the wilderness, but to Moses giving them food. So Jesus says, it wasn't Moses, guys. It was my Father that sustained you. And so now my Father is now going to continue to sustain you by giving you the bread of life. I'd like to think that it's a pretty simple task what they're given in order to receive the bread of life, in order to never have to feed the cycle of sustenance, but feed and be fed. To never have to go hungry spiritually, faithfully again. All they have to do is one thing: to believe. To believe in their Lord. To be sustained by their Lord. All they have to do is believe. Our world is filled with things that sustain us. Many things that sustain us for only a short period of time. There's food, a good book, sports. There's all sorts of things that sustain us for a little while and keep us going, that feed that need we have for sustenance. But there is nothing outside of God that will give us life. The giants might be great for a few hours of entertainment, but they can't offer you eternal life. The latest best-selling novel is not going to do much more than give you a few hours of entertainment and sustain you in that way. But it cannot give you eternal life. The Yankees, though fun to watch, will have dry times, like when Aaron Judge gets injured. Just ask a Cubs fan about dry times. The fact is, sports or whatever we seek to be sustained by, unless it is God, will continually fall short, and never, never, ever can it give us life. It can distract us. Sure, it can distract us. Movies and baseball were the great sellers of the Depression, when people sought to hide from the reality of the world. The fact is, those are just distractions and cannot give life. Author and theologian Eugene Peterson, a few years ago, wrote a book. Not the book you're thinking of, wherein he wrote The Message, which is a more approachable, quote-unquote, translation of Scripture. No, this one is called Eat This Book. It's a guide, a series of suggestions and recommendations on how we can grow and get deeper in our study of Scripture so that we can chew on it more and more, so that we can continually be fed by it. Think about it. Instead of eating potato chips, we could be eating the bread of life. Instead of being fed by whatever it is that's feeding us now, we could instead be fed by the bread of life. Now, we can talk about fasting and dieting. We can talk about how healthy things are needing to be. But the fact is, the one thing we cannot fast from, the one thing we absolutely need in our lives, is God. God who sustains us through whatever times and trials we have. God who gives us life and being. As we get ready to gather around the table, the words of the communion prayer are, He sustains us and gives us life and being and preserves us by His providence. Instead of feeding the monster, whichever monster it is, we should feed our faith, feed our desire to grow closer to God, to know God more and more, instead of filling the holes in our lives with that which will eventually be nothing and has an expiration date. We should be filling our lives with the bread of life, which never expires and will never go away. That's the key, isn't it? Not to be those people crying out to Jesus for a sign, for manna, for quail at the seashore, but trusting and knowing in the bread of life. Think about bread. How simple and uncomplicated it is. And think about how flavorful it can be. Think about the flavor of Christ in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we cannot continually go to things in this world to feed us, because they will never sustain us. Never. We need to instead seek after the bread of life. Amen.